In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Our Lord Jesus says in John 6, it's written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We rejoice today that we have been taught by God. It's sometimes helpful for me and you to realize what we have if we consider what it would be like if we had not had it. Just imagine if you had never heard the Bible read in English. Just imagine if you've never heard a sermon preached in a language you could understand, and that in Sunday school you had never learned the Word of God because it wasn't even translated into English, and you were completely clueless as to who God is. Well, the reality is, we have been taught by God. We have heard the Word of God in our own language, and today we remember and we rejoice. Everyone here, all of us, have been taught by the ultimate teacher, Jesus, God in human flesh. For a moment, remember all the teachers you've had in your life and the impact they've had on your life. Remember your grandfather, your grandmother, your dad, your mom. They taught you how to do your chores. They taught you how to work to be responsible. They taught you. Remember that grade school teacher who taught you how to read and to write and arithmetic? Think of a high school teacher that impressed you. A high school teacher helped you understand biology or chemistry or physics. Or perhaps that coach who was your coach in one of the sports that you played. Many of you are about to go to college, and some of you are professors yourself. Your college professor, remember that one professor who helped you find your interest, your vocation, and your profession that has shaped your whole life till now? And maybe you went to a trade school, a technical school, and someone taught you how to be a mechanic, or a plumber, or an electrician, or a carpenter. These people taught you. You learned from them, and has shaped your whole life. Imagine for a moment if you found out that at your elementary school or high school or college, God Himself was going to come into the classroom this week, speak in your own language, and relate to your personal life in the classroom this week. Well, you know what? That is exactly what He has done. When you read the Bible, when your children are taught in Sunday school and you teach them at home, when teachers and pastors teach the Bible, preach God's Word in sermons, you are being taught by God in your own language, in real life, in real time, by a real person. Think of it. God the Father sent His Son, who finished the work of our redemption, and before He ascended into heaven, promised the coming of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit came at Pentecost and brought to the apostles remembrance of all that Jesus had said, and they wrote it down in the New Testament. The New Testament has been translated into English, and you heard the Bible read in English this morning. Pastors, teachers, and parents who've proclaimed the Word of God and taught the Word of God, you have been taught by God. In person, in your own language, in your own real life circumstance. Rejoice. Everyone who listens to the Father learns by listening to Jesus, because that is how we are taught by God. So today, if we're going to rejoice that we've been taught by God, first of all, let's consider how Jesus, your teacher, was the son of the stepfather Joseph on earth. Secondly, Jesus, your teacher, is the son of God the Father in heaven. And third, Jesus, your teacher, is the bread of life from heaven. Joyce, you've been taught by God, by Jesus, the son of the stepfather Joseph on earth. In the gospel lesson, Jesus said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." Here Jesus was in his hometown of Nazareth. His stepfather was Joseph because God the Father was his true father. The Jews begin to grumble when Jesus says, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." Why? They say, "Isn't this Jesus the son of Joseph, a carpenter? Don't we know his father and mother? How can he say that he came down from heaven?" They are scandalized by this. Why? All they see with their eyes is Jesus the carpenter, whose stepfather Joseph taught him the trade of carpentry in this town of Nazareth, and they don't yet understand who he really is. So they grumble against Jesus. Jesus says, "Don't grumble. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." So Jesus is saying, though, "I know I look just like a carpenter's son, but the Father is speaking through me to draw you to him, and I will raise him up in the last day. After all," Jesus said, "didn't the prophets themselves write, 'You will be taught by God'? Hear and learn from the Father through the Son. Jesus has seen the Father, came from the Father, and whoever believes in him has eternal life." Now, Jesus recognizes the stumbling block that they're having. After all, they're looking at a man standing there with calluses on his hands from the tools that he uses, with sandals on his feet. This young man from Nazareth, however, is more than just the stepson of Joseph. He is God in human flesh. However, we take great comfort in the fact that Jesus is a true man here on earth. He truly understands what it is to work with your hands, to get sores and calluses and blisters on your hands, to be filled with concern over other people, to face all the woes of life, whether it be in relationships or in work or the daily difficulties of life. He truly understands because he shares our flesh and blood. He is the life of God in flesh. We've learned from Christ the truth in Jesus. And we know, as St. Paul said today, because we're saint and sinner at the same time, Jesus understands that. He shares our flesh and blood, yet without sin. But he understands what it is to have these bodies, to be saint and sinner at the same time. Saint because of the righteousness of Christ covering us in our baptism, but sinner because of the old Adam we battle every single day. That's what Paul described in the epistle lesson. "Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." The white robes of Christ's righteousness, earned for you upon the cross, guaranteed in his resurrection, cover you. Rejoice. Your teacher, Jesus, is true man here on earth who shared our flesh and blood. Secondly, Jesus, your true teacher, is also the Son of God the Father in heaven. Jesus continues, "All the Father has given to me, I give to you. I will never cast you out. I have come down from heaven to do the will of him who sent me. If this is the will of him who sent me, I will lose no one who he has given to me, and I will raise him up on the last day. This is the will of my Father. Whoever looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." What wonderful promises Jesus gives. How can he give us these promises? Because he's also the Son of God from heaven. St. Paul said, we've been given the Holy Spirit of God, and we are sealed for the day of redemption. Through the blood of Christ, you have been sealed. Your sins have been forgiven and removed as far as the east is from the west. By the blood of Christ, his righteousness is credited to your account, and you've been redeemed from sin, death, and hell by his blood. For righteousness, life, and heaven. And you are sealed with that promise. Therefore, we are kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. You've been taught by Jesus, true man on earth. You've been taught by Jesus, the Son of God from heaven. And thirdly, you were taught by Jesus, the bread of life. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall not thirst. Now it's true, this is the third week you've heard this, but that's what John 6 is all about. Jesus is the bread of life. Remember, Jesus says, the Israelites, your fathers, wandered in the wilderness for 40 years and they ate that manna that was on the ground, but they died. But the bread I give comes down from heaven. You eat of it and you will not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Eat this bread and you will live forever. This bread I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. Jesus, the bread of life, feeds you his living bread every time you come here and hear the word proclaimed. And every time you read your devotion in the portals of prayer, you're receiving living bread. Jesus, the living bread, touched you personally because a pastor somewhere put water on you and baptized you in the triune name of God. Jesus, this morning, gives us his very body and blood under the bread and wine for the forgiveness of sins, because he is the living bread for the life of the world. A lot of people have a wrong notion about the ascension of Jesus. Some people think that when Jesus ascended to the right hand of God, it's kind of like he went up there and he's there in this place up there and we've got to all kind of do the best we can until he comes back. That's a wrong understanding of the ascension of Christ. Christ ascended to the right hand of God and fills the whole universe with his presence. Therefore, just like he took a few loaves of bread and a little bit of fish and fed 5,000 people all around the world since he fills the universe with his presence, he takes a little bit of bread and a little bit of wine and feeds millions of people his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. He's still living bread. He still gives his flesh for the life of the world, for you and for me. That's why Paul said, be imitators of God. Beloved children, walk in love as Christ loved you, gave himself up for you, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God, this gift of Christ's very body for you and for me. In conclusion, we have been taught by God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, in a language we can understand. He has given his flesh for you upon the cross. He has washed you clean in holy baptism. He's used pastors and teachers to proclaim the word to you. He's brought the word of absolution and fed you by his body and blood. And he will raise you up on the last day. We have all been taught by God. Summer is coming to an end. I hope it starts raining and there's no more 100 degrees. And so we pray for rain as the summer comes to its end. But school's about to start. Some of you will be in elementary school, high school, technical school, and college. The whole reason we have this church, school, and campus ministry is to teach so that we're all taught by God. Your children are in Sunday school to be taught by God. You're in Bible class to be taught by God as you are in this divine service. All these children that we have in our day school and our childcare during the week are here to be taught by God. The college students who are just starting to arrive here at OU through our vicar and our campus ministry are here to be taught by God. The international students through English as a second language are here to be taught by God. Rejoice this day as you leave, because you're all going to go home and have lunch. Go home with one thought after we've come to the Lord's table, received His gifts, and then go about our daily vocation and calling, and rejoice that in this place, in your own language, in ways you can understand, in your actual real life, rejoice. You have been taught by God. We rejoice in that through Jesus Christ. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and our minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.